right. Welcome to the Technicast again today. We're actually, I have a new co-host today. Chloe Tuck is out in Boston today, so I'm here with Beatrice Allen.
Hello.
And our guest today is Stephen Ashley. He's the Teen Engagement Coordinator at the Chapel Hill Public Library, a position he has held since 2015. Before working at the Public Library, he worked at Algonquin Books, a press based in Chapel Hill, as a publishing coordinator. And we're going to be talking to him about what it's like to move from working at the beginning of the publishing process, manuscript submission, to the end, to distributing books to the public. Welcome.
Hello.
So we'll start with at Algonquin. As I said, you were the publishing coordinator. What kind of did that entail as your position?
So I did a lot of things. Publishing coordinator is not maybe the most specific job title one could hold. But I did a lot of things. Like I said, I did a lot of office management stuff. I was in the publicity department. So I would do some of those things, helping with press releases and creating content. I managed interns. And I also, sort of outside of that, did some reading of submissions for the Young Readers line. So a little bit of everything.
So going back to publicizing a book release, what all goes into that? What does it entail? And is there a release or a publicity campaign that you remember fondly, or that was special to you in any way?
Or one that you maybe don't remember very fondly?
So there's a lot that goes into a publicity campaign, and it involves a lot of lists, which is maybe not the most exciting way to start that, but so a publicity campaign involves sort of sending advanced copies of a book to important press people, newspapers, magazines, some TV shows, radio shows. So that'll happen, like, ideally it'll happen like pretty well in advance of the release of the book, depending on when the advanced copy shows up. It could be a little bit not as advanced as it should be. So there's that, and also another mailing of finished copies when they show up. There's usually, if the author's touring, there's booking a tour. So that could be events at a bookstore. It could be events with a school. It could be events at a festival. So lots of different things, and kind of mapping that out takes a lot of planning. And then for each of those stops, you have to publicize the book there. So it involves figuring out who all the radio personalities are, who all the newspapers are, and making sure they have a copy of the book. And with each copy of the book, ideally, there'll be a press release, there'll be information with reviews, whatever kind of exciting thing can be sent. So that's, like, I guess, publicity in a nutshell. It is more exciting and interesting than that sounds, but there are a lot of, like, sending emails, talking to people. So some of the more interesting campaigns we've done have usually involved sending something that is a little bit outside of the box. So there are two that popped to mind. One was actually starting to wrap up when I first got to Algonquin, for a book called West of Here by Jonathan Evison. We sent people this wooden box that was meant to look like a smoked salmon sampler box.
Sure.
And as one does.
Yeah.
And inside of it, there were, like, postcards. There were, I can't remember everything that went into it, but there were a lot of things in that box. So people would get this box and be like, this is smoked fish. But apparently it was very useful, because that book got a lot of coverage. And then another one was for Amy Stewart's Wicked Bugs. She's written a lot of nonfiction, kind of nature books about bugs and plants that can kill you, plants that can get you drunk, just really interesting stuff. But we sent these, like, bookworms. So there were these, like, stuffed, like, worms that we just shoved in the package with the book. And so that was a fun kind of weird thing to send. But yeah, so it's all about sort of how can you get the book noticed. So that can be really fun to come up with ways to get a book noticed.
Yeah.
Okay, so what kind of advice would you give to a new author who's trying to get their book published or even looked at by a publisher?
Yeah, so what not to do, don't just blindly send your book to publishers because a lot of them will not even look at it if you don't have an agent. And that's just because the sheer amount of submissions they get, there are some kind of like sometimes legal issues with reading something. So if you're looking to get a book published, start with, if you're not going to go a self-publishing route, which is a whole different beast, look for an agent first. I would say as far as a manuscript goes, like if you're getting ready to submit something, make sure it's as good as you can possibly make it. But when I was reading, one of the most common issues that I would find in manuscripts is that the story would start on about page 60. So I would read all of this stuff that was essentially backstory that I wouldn't say it wasn't interesting. Sometimes it wasn't interesting, but it usually was just not necessary. So by the time you've read for an hour and then you're like, oh, I haven't actually read any of the story, that tends to sour your taste for whatever it is. It shows that the book needs a lot of work, which if it's amazing or it's super interesting, an editor might be willing to put in that work. But it's not a good look. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say. I'm sure it was very interesting and enlightening and was definitely going to get you published. It probably wasn't. But just make sure what you're submitting is the best that you can and make sure that you're going through an agent and make sure that it's all good, but it starts where the story starts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So a book published by Algonquin, The Girl Who Drank the Moon by Kelly Barnhill, won the 2017 Newbery Medal. How important are those kinds of awards to publishers, especially smaller ones? And what is the selection process like for awards like that?
Yeah, so the selection process is very in-depth for those kinds of awards because those are all part of the American Library Association. So it involves sending, like... some obscene number of copies to all these different people. The selection committees usually are about 10 people, and they essentially have to read everything that comes out in a calendar year, which is really exhausting. So again, you just want to make sure you're sending things that stand out. And, you know, for a publisher, it also, I think, costs money to submit your books for those things. I can't remember if there's like an actual fee or if it's just the money due to the amount of things you're sending. So for a small publisher, you really have to think about what books you want to submit. You know, for a big house, like one of the big five, they can afford to send many, many books. But for a smaller publisher, they have to really think about that. Yeah, there's just a lot of interesting things about Girl Who Drank the Moon winning that award because it is a fantasy book, and those typically, I don't want to say get overlooked, but they typically don't fall into the criteria that people are looking for those kinds of awards. So it's really interesting that one won. It's a great book. And for a small publisher to win something like that, it is a really big deal because once you get that gold sticker on the cover of a book, the sales go way up. So that can mean a lot for an author's career. It can mean a lot for a publisher. And when a publisher is not publishing that many books a year, obviously having one put front and center like that is a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's talk about a little bit about your transition, because you started working in the library after working in publishing. What are some of the big differences between the two fields that you've noticed?
So I specifically work with teenagers, which is fun and wacky and has there are a lot of stories that I could tell, but I won't. I've actually found that I talk about books less now, because a lot of my regular teens are not big readers. So I spend 95% of my time talking about like memes and Tumblr, which is fun. But I think a lot of people go into libraries thinking they're going to just be books all the time, and you're really not. I have found that when I do talk about books, it's kind of interesting and freeing to just basically, I get to say exactly what I think about a book. You know, when you're trying to sell a book, when you work in publishing, you're ultimately trying to sell something and make money. We published a lot of books that I really liked, but you can't be 100% like, well, this one's good, but working at a library now, I get to say, oh, here are my favorites, and here are the ones that you should read, and here are the ones that are a good match for you. So that's a lot of fun. So I like not feeling like I'm selling something, but I don't get to talk about books nearly as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so kind of elaborating on that, you work with both the library and the town of Chapel Hill in your job, and what have you found to be successful ways to boost teen engagement with the library? Is it all memes? Just pushing
all
the memes out?
All the time.
All social media all the
time. All memes. I think it just really is about listening to your community and your user. Like I said, I don't have a group that is heavy into reading, so that kind of changes what one might think one would do as a librarian. You know, so we have lots of game nights, we have lots of movie nights, you know, things that are basically fun social experiences for teens. And, you know, thinking about the library as a space and a community gathering space. So basically listening to your population and then doing what they ask. So if I think there's a temptation to just be like book clubs and I don't know, reading things. And if that's not what they're interested in, then that's not what they're interested in. Mm-hmm. So yeah, lots of listening, lots of doing what people ask.
So, well, let's talk a little bit about sort of the selection process for libraries. How in particular do the libraries select which books to buy and have in their library? And is there sort of trends maybe that you see among books that get picked up for specific genres or specific types of, particularly maybe with young adult literature?
Yeah. You know, selection is really different at every library because obviously budgets are very different, communities are very different. Ultimately, you want to buy the things that best support your community. we're very lucky at the Chapel Hill Public Library because we're very well funded. So we get to choose a lot of different things and buy a lot of different things. Because we are able to do that, we tend to go for things that get good reviews, but also things that we know are going to support a specific community group. And I think this is a trend. I don't know if trend is the right word, but I think libraries are finally getting wise to the idea that people really want to read books that reflect their experience, and publishing in general. And I think publishing has a long way to go with that, because I don't want to say, like, publishing diverse books is a trend, because diversity is not a trend, it's just reality. Mm-hmm. But so there are more and more books with diverse characters. We are always wanting more books from diverse voices. So I'd say that's the big trend, is just lifting up diverse mm-hmm. voices and, you know, looking for more sort of subtleties, like books that might explore a more specific experience than just like a broad kind of, we used to call them like issue books, where it's like, I think that's one of the sad things about publishing is for a while, like being of a different race or sexual orientation, that was an quote unquote issue book, and now it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are that's one of the big things that's happening and really does affect what we choose to buy.
Mm-hmm. So specifically in young adult literature, do you see, is it kind of the same thing about diversity becoming more common to be written about, or any other trends in terms of genre?
It's really hard, I think, to predict trends. I mean, I read something online that was like, contemporary fiction is dead. And that's not true. Like, you know, teens will read pretty much anything. So I think that the only trend is that there are just more and more different kinds of things coming out to suit different tastes. And I mean, of course, like, based on whatever the big book of the moment is, like, there will be more things like that. Like, we saw dystopias for however long after the Hunger Games came out.
Mm-hmm.
After The Fault in Our Stars, we saw all these books about sick kids. I don't know what I would say the big book right now is, but there have been a lot of contemporary movie adaptations, thinking about, like, Before I Fall and Everything. So maybe that's the big thing of the moment, but I think we're really kind of moving beyond, like, sort of what's the thing and listening more and more to what people want. Mm-hmm. That reflects their lives.
Do you think those books resonate well with adult audiences too? Because I know I've seen studies that say that adults read as much YA books as sort of young adults do.
Yeah, absolutely. you know, a lot. It's hard in a library to say who's checking out more YA, because sometimes adults are checing it out for kids. Sometimes kids will check it out and adults will steal it from them.
Yeah.
I think, you know, YA is, or young adult is, really kind of a marketing buzzword.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it usually means that the protagonists are teenagers and they're doing some, and there are themes of sort of like self-discovery. But beyond that, there's really not that much difference between a teen book and an adult book. There are awards like the Alex Award, which is an award that is given to adult books with teen appeal. So it really is a very fuzzy line. But a lot of times YA books tend to have sort of a bigger focus on story. So they're just, a lot's happening and they're really exciting and usually easy to read. But I think that's a generalization, because there are very many complex YA books that are not sort of quote unquote easy reads. But yeah, I think that it's just, the lines are blurred and people just read what they want to read.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so maybe a little moment of truth time here. What advice do you kind of have for anyone looking to get into publishing, and what sort of expectations should they have for the field going in?
So I think the biggest piece of advice I would give somebody who's interested in publishing is to explore options outside of editorial work. I think most people think of going into publishing as, I'm going to be an editor. The truth is, if you really want to be an editor, you should do it. But people who work in editorial work all the time, you know, they're not reading these manuscripts while they're at work. Some of them don't even edit when they're at work. They're sort of doing all the stuff that's like basically guiding a book through the publishing process. You know, they're involved in all of the copy. They're involved in the jacket. They're involved in the conversations with the agents. So they do so much work that is not editing or reading, that often gets done in the evenings or on the weekends. And also, it's just very difficult to move up in the editorial world. So something like publicity or marketing or managing editorial, it's easier to move up in those worlds. And also, they're really exciting and satisfying, too. So I would just suggest being open-minded to the work that you're going to do. I would also suggest doing internships while you can. I know there are some people who they graduate, they decide they want to go into publishing, and then they end up having to do sort of like a full-time internship in a very expensive city. So if you can do that while you're still studying or while there's somebody to help you pay for that, you definitely should. excuse me. You should definitely expect your entry-level job to be very, very entry-level. You know,
a lot of grunt work.
When I was at Algonquin, I mailed so many things. And I had interns that I managed to help me mail things. And it's just the way of the world. You're going to be mailing things. You're going to be stickering books. You're going to be folding things. Like, it just is what you're going to do. And I would also say, if you're a writer who is interested in going into publishing, which I think a lot of people who work with books are writers themselves, get really good at compartmentalizing, because I have definitely seen people who are writers who work with books get very frustrated when they think that a book is not as good as what they have written, but they are not able to get it published, what they have written. So there's a lot of sort of conflict there. If in that situation, I would definitely recommend looking into things outside of editorial, because that can get really exhausting doing both of those things at the same time. Yeah, and also, you know, nothing is permanent. If you try it out and you don't like it, you'll get another job, because the skills you would get in any publishing environment are applicable to a lot of different things, and vice versa.
Okay, one final question. Hopefully this will be a bit easier. What is your favorite book, or one that you would recommend that people read, maybe a lesser known book?
My favorite book is definitely not a quote-unquote lesser-known book. It's The Phantom Tollbooth.
Ah, nice.
But I would say that if you are an adult who read it as a child, you should reread it as an adult, because it is equally good, if not better, as an adult, because there are so many subtleties to it, mm-hmm. Especially if you're a lover of language. as far as sort of lesser-known books, I think a lot of people don't realize how diverse and sort of literary young adult books can be. So I would recommend people read something like Midwinter Blood by Marcus Sedgwick, which won the Prince a couple of years ago, which is the big YA Lit prize. And it's a book that's best to go into not knowing that much about it, but mm-hmm. it's basically Cloud Atlas for teens. Mm-hmm. And there's another book that I really love that my coworkers make so much fun of me for, because I push it on everyone, called Grasshopper Jungle by Andrew Smith, which is basically a story about these kids who witness this plague turn people into man-eating praying mantises.
Good God.
So it's basically like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 style sci-fi movie meets this like very delicate coming of age story about exploring like sexuality and what it means to like grow up. And it's just one of the weirdest things I've ever read, and I love it so much. yeah, and I think it's both of those books are good examples of like sort of the experimentation that's happening in YA Lit. And I guess a more, maybe a less wild suggestion, a book I read recently that I really, really liked, and I have also been pushing on everyone, but it hasn't really been on the shelf yet, so I haven't been able to do a lot of that, is a book called American Street by E.B. Zoboy. And it is about, I hate using this word, it's very relevant. It's about this girl who immigrates from Haiti to Detroit, and her mother gets held up in immigration. So she is living in inner city Detroit with her distant family. So it's this very sort of gritty look at inner city Detroit, but there's also this aspect of, so the main character, Fabiola, she practices voodoo. So these voodoo Iwas, which are sort of like, I don't know, like this, the beings in voodoo, start to manifest in her life. Like Papa Legba is this homeless man that sits outside of her house and sings in the middle of the night. So it's a really interesting look at sort of cultural clash and immigration and what it means to be sort of to not really fit in a new environment. And it's just really beautiful and well done.
Cool. Excellent.
Right. I wrote all of those down. Excellent. So I'm going to try and take a look at all of them.
And I hope you read every one of them. I'm going to track you down and see if you did it.
All right. I'll do my best.
I'll get angry like Harry and you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for Stephen for coming. We don't want to take too much more of your time since I know you have to actually go to the library to work today. But again, Stephen Ashley.
That's my name, Stephen Library. Stephen, it's like Stephen Universe, but not as exciting.
Stephen Ashley, the teen coordinator at the Chapel Hill Public Library. You can take a look at what the Chapel Hill Public Library has to offer if you're in the area or online. Thanks again for coming by and talking about everything.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Beatrice, for subbing in today.
Of course.
And that's the Technicast. Thanks so much.